Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and the brand new M&M Survival off the Call of Duty trailer that launched this week. Figured we would kick the show off with that. You can catch us, as always, on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Fight Fans Radio Network, and newly added to the iHeartRadio Talk platform, and as always, brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos and Onnit Supplements at onnit.com/wowshow.
Sean Desay's not here.
He is not. We want to wish him congratulations. He had his daughter Ava on Monday.
Monday, he had the baby.
He did. Mom and baby are doing just fine.
He can't make it in here to talk for an hour.
No, he cannot. And if you've been in that situation, you know what that first week is like. And if you were in that situation, let's say 5 years ago, maybe you don't remember. Needless
are
to
you
say,
pointing over here? I'm just asking.
I am not pointing over there, but I'm saying, needless to say, he kind of forgot that we do this. So
Demetrius Johnson defended a world title 2 weeks ago, days after having a new baby. So congratulations to Sean. That's wonderful news. Get it together, man. You got 18 more years of this. Talk for an hour?
Right. Yes, you can't make it in here for 60 minutes. Bet Kevin Lee didn't miss one minute of practice.
Not a day.
Okay, so got a big night of fights coming up tomorrow night as Fox Sports 1 makes its launch. Exciting news from Dana White on Wednesday as DirecTV, the Dish Network, and Time Warner Cable all came to an agreement, so you get Fox Sports 1, and you get Fox Sports 1, you get Fox Sports, everybody gets Fox Sports 1.
Do we know more specifics on the deal yet? I know things are still being rolled out as far as tiers go. I know 607 was the rumored number for DirecTV. Does that mean you had to have that sports tier originally? Because I know you don't. You've got the $7 a month package. I still don't know where you got that.
I just talked to them until they just give me what I want. So
what they didn't give you, you didn't get fuel. So you don't have fuel on there.
I didn't want... No, I'm just kidding.
You sent them a fax, I guess,
to request
your package.
I did send them an 8-track cassette with the messaging of what I would like on it, and then they returned me a $7 plan.
There you go.
I do not know, and if you don't know, this is certainly your neck of the woods. So if you don't know what it is, then there probably is no details out there.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we're going to see more details, and if you just want to check your guide, if you've got DirecTV, it's speed. If you've got Dish Network, I don't know. I'm sorry. If you've got Time Warner and all these other things, it's there somewhere. It just depends, I guess, on what package you get. The good news is it's been cleared. Fox Sports 1 is going to be on the cable systems, and it's one of those situations where you've now got this in line, and a lot of people are saying that this is the station, the channel, the network that could give ESPN that run for its money. I don't know if I agree. I mean, we've seen a lot of people try to do that. We've seen the regionals try. Fox has done this with regional networks, tried to put on a nightly sportscast, has tried to do things like that. Is this a better platform than the regionals? Of course. Is it any different than NBC Sports coming at them? I'm not sure. Is it any different than CBS Sports Network? I don't know.
Let me ask you this question then. I know you make fun of me, but let's use real-world scenarios as perhaps maybe people don't want to spend $100 a month on their DirecTV Dish cable package, and they get a middle-of-the-road tier like I have.
Mm-hmm.
My tier has all the ESPN. So in order to compete, don't you need to be in that tier?
Yeah, and that's what I'm wondering is if what's going to happen here. Now, to be fair, you probably got NBC Sports Network in your tier now, too.
Yes.
Sitting at 220, right?
Yes.
And you've got the NFL Network, you got MLB
yep.
Network.
I have all of that
And you've
stuff.
Got your, yeah, that's your medium tier. I imagine that's where this is going to land as far as networks go. Some could be a little different. Some cable systems could be a little trickier. Dish Network might be a little bit different. But I imagine this is where it's going to land. So the clearance issues are essentially out of the way. It's going to be in 40 million more homes than originally.
Yeah, so 90 million total, is that the number?
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a launch. It's a heck of a launch, and it's something UFC should be happy about. It's finding that network, because NBC Sports Network, it's on DirecTV now. It's in that basic area. It wasn't when it first started. And does UFC make DirecTV move that brand up and in? Does it make you look for this channel? Does it point you there? Because I know all cable systems and satellites are different, so I'm talking really about my own experience. But there's ads in your TV guide now, essentially.
Yes.
Where you'll see, hey, this weekend this, or this new show, or, hey, DirecTV now has Fox Sports 1. Will that be somewhere? I'm wondering about the commitment. DirecTV has always been a very sports-friendly network as far as cable satellite. So I would expect something like that. And we're going to wait and see tomorrow. Should be channel 607, though, if you can't find it.
That is Ken's call. And like Ken said, Fox Sports 1 tomorrow night. Live from the Garden in Boston, you will get Shogun and Sonnen. Overeem and Brown, Faber and Alcantara, Brown, Mike Pyle, Uriah Hall back in since his loss at the tough finale. He will be taking on a very tough opponent in Boston native John Howard. Doomsday, well known because he fought one of the Boston terrorism suspects in a sparring gym there in Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he broke Tsarnaev's nose at one point.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, and then kicking it off, the Boston hometown native whose name isn't Dana White. It's Joe Lozon. He will be taking on Michael Johnson. So it is a great card that's going to be on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, it's stacked. It's probably better than some of the ones they want us to pay for sometimes.
Certainly. But the Shogun-Sonnen fight has interesting ramifications, I think, because both men are not at their prime. Both men certainly have something to prove. I think if you're a fan of Shogun, you clearly think he's going to annihilate Sonnen on the feet. But I think you would be remiss in forgetting that Sonnen's wrestling is way better than Shogun's ability to block said wrestling.
So yeah, I would agree with you there. I mean, and Shogun's that guy, too. When you look at his fights you think he should go in there and win. He's always going to be competitive. But, I mean, his best win here, I'm looking at the past 3 years. I mean, he's got Brandon Vera and Forrest Griffin. I mean, really? It's been a long time since he beat Machida, and we saw what happened to Machida just a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
That's his best win, and as much as people want to talk about Chael Sonnen and talking his way into title fights and talking his way into main events without big wins, even though he doesn't have those wins there, and I'm not going to make the argument that he does. Don't take that from what I'm saying. He's still been in there with probably three or four of the best fighters in the world in his past 5-10 fights, easily.
Yeah, no doubt he has done that, and that's what makes this so interesting, because this could be a really, really great fight, or, as you alluded to, it could go one way or the other very, very quickly.
What's interesting, too, is the guy with the most to gain isn't the guy who's probably got the best fighters on his record in the past couple years. Mauricio Shogun-Hua, he wins. You look at Machida out of the picture now, mm-hmm, as a light heavyweight. You look at some of these other guys that are in the running. You've got, Jones Gustafsson, which is going to happen next.
Yes.
Shogun could get right back in there in this title picture with a win coming up on Saturday night on Fox Sports 1.
And what do you think happens with Sonnen if he wins?
Sonnen wins?
I mean, we're fighting at light heavyweight at this point, so he's not even in where essentially he wants to be.
Sonnen is in the money matchups, and people are going to be upset, and people are going to be sick of Chael Sonnen again, but Chael Sonnen is always going to be the guy that's going to be in the main event when you want to make money or make ratings. That's why he has been moved to this card. Remember, he wasn't originally on this card.
Right.
They want to start off with a bang with these UFC fight nights on Fox Sports 1. They decided the guy we want to go with, they didn't pick a champion.
No, but
they went with Chael Sonnen.
And not to interrupt you, but they had originally announced this as Overeem Brown. And I think all of us thought that, okay.
That's a good fight. That's a great level fight. You got a guy with one loss on his record taking on a former K-1 and Strikeforce champion. That's a great fight. That's a good level for this card.
Except you think the one step further and you go, okay, well, what if Overeem tests positive before we get there? What if? And then in comes the consistent. As you alluded to moments ago, you can say whatever you want about Chael Sonnen, but he shows up and he sells. People buy Chael Sonnen.
That's the same reason you keep seeing the Diaz brothers in the cage, even though they both retire every time they lose a fight.
Yes, they do.
Now, I'm not going to land on that consistency side as much with those guys, but they sell. And you get a lot of leeway in the UFC if you sell. If Diaz didn't sell, he would never have been brought back a couple of times. So you have the selling ability that Chael Sonnen has, and you have that reliability.
This is what I'm talking about. You can say what you want about the Diaz, but they don't get injured. They don't drop out of fights. They don't do any. Maybe they don't show up for press conferences, and you can.
They can't find airports.
Whatever. All of that stuff can happen, but when you're supposed to be in a cage, they're there.
They're there to fight, and they're going to show up to fight. Chael Sonnen's the same way. And when you want to launch an event on a network brand new, this is a guy that's okay to go with. This is why this guy's in the main event. There's been a lot of talk these past couple weeks. Why is Chow main eventing this? This is why. You don't probably have to worry about an injury bug. He seems like he's a guy who knows how to train for a fight decently, and he's a guy that will probably fight anybody else. So if you had Shogun fall out of this matchup, well, hell, he's been selling the Vanderlei fight that I've been wanting to happen for four months.
Do that. He was talking earlier this week about how he wants Cody McKenzie. Like, he's whatever.
He would have fought anybody else there, and Dana didn't have to worry about that. He didn't have to worry about John Jones in the event and having to cancel it because the main event was gone if you've got Chow in there and Chow's healthy to go.
And there were some weird things on this card. All you have to do is look at the Uriah Hall fight. There was Uriah Hall and Nick Ring originally. Then it was Uriah Hall and Josh Salmon from the same tough season, and now it's Uriah Hall and the third guy they could find, which is John Howard or Doomsday. So you already had that kind of shadow lurking around the card to begin with, and yeah, you need some consistency, and you need a guy who's going to go out there and fight, and it's great to have a guy on the other side of the octagon in Shogun who's going to go to war.
Oh, definitely. You know that he's going to fight hard, that they're both going to show up. I mean, this is a fight I'm looking at, and I'm looking at it, though. Shogun's going to show up. I don't know if he's got the gas tank for Chael Sonnen. Does that sound strange, the way Chael's not really been in a long fight in a while?
Because I look at this the same way, where it's like, I wouldn't be mad at anybody if they came to me and said, I think Shogun's going to win this one. I go, okay, I think Sonnen's going to win this one. Okay, because I'm with you. I think if it's on the feet, I think Shogun has an excellent chance of finishing this thing. I think he's a bit of a different fighter than he used to be on the ground, so I think Shogun will fall prey to what Sonnen does very well on the ground, and perhaps the jiu-jitsu might not be as scary as it is against, like, I don't know, a Chris Weidman or an Anderson Silva.
Well, it's a situation, though, where I'm looking at the fight and remembering that Alexander Gustafsson fight, and again, he's a bigger, taller, lankier guy, but he wasn't really able to do anything in that fight, and he ends up losing a decision in that fight.
Yeah.
Shogun Hua.
Yep.
So what is he going to do? I'm wondering. These guys that are headlining events, every time we come to an event now, Eric, it seems like we're talking about these guys. They're at that level. Okay, where do they fall off? We talked about it a couple months ago when Dan Henderson was back in the cage. Is this when Dan Henderson's mortal? Yeah, that was. That was when Dan Henderson was mortal when we saw him fight last. Is this... Shogun Hua has not had that cachet, so to speak. And you have to wonder, he didn't really look that great against Gustafsson. Gustafsson's a great fighter.
Yep.
But nobody, I think, thought when he fought Gustafsson that if Gustafsson won, it was going to be a decision. And that's what ended up happening in that fight.
For sure. But you had talked about this almost a year ago, that you said that there was going to be this, across the entire organization, this band, if you will, of men that need to headline these sorts of things that either don't have a chance at contending but sell tickets, or get kind of caught in the ether as like a Chael Sonnen does.
Well, you've got a Chael Sonnen in the ether, and you've got Shogun Hua, who is a guy who has to win this fight, though, to kind of stay in that area. I mean, otherwise, you know where we're going to see him? We're going to see him on Brazilian cards, and we're going to see him on occasion maybe co-main eventing these cards when they're not as big. Because these UFC fight nights on Fox Sports 1 are not going to remain the level of card we're seeing this weekend. They can't, the way that pay-per-views are set up and everything else is structured.
Look at the next one. It's a giant...
Who's on the next one?
You have it in front of you.
Let me grab it.
The next one is a giant discount from what this is.
So yeah, we've got UFC Fight Night, Shogun versus Sonnen. That is our first one. Condit Campman 2 is our next one, which is a solid night.
Yeah, but if you look at the rest of that card, it's not nearly what this one is.
Teixeira Bader. We're looking at in the future, possibly, and that's as far as we go, I think, with these UFC fight nights on Fox Sports 1. So, yeah, we're not going to see world title contenders probably at the top of these cards very often. They'll be in the mix, but there's certainly not going to be any fighters in there that are going to win that fight and probably go get the title shot. I'm not even going to say that's going to happen this weekend. I mean, because Chow wins, he's stuck. Shogun wins, he probably needs one more fight, but still... One more fight for him is a great path, considering how things in the light heavyweight division looked just a couple of months ago and how things looked for him after that loss with Gustafsson.
Certainly, and if Chael wins, Ken, he essentially is a visitor who went to a place he wasn't supposed to be and
he just won't leave.
And stole one. He's just hanging around. He's not planning on staying. He's going to go back down to 185, assumingly. So if
195, 200, whatever we got.
He's going to do whatever they've got him for. Co-main event is going to be the Ream and Travis Brown. I think this one is interesting in that you listen to Overeem talk all week about how he underestimated Bigfoot and he took him lightly and that's how he got starched. But you also have to think all of this dangerously low testosterone, you took all of this stuff and now you're not on this stuff and maybe you're not the same fighter you were when we all thought you were a monster. And Travis Brown has been consistent at that weight class.
Yeah, he's been consistent. He's only got the one loss against Bigfoot Silva. I think he might want that back. I'll ask him about it later in the show if he wants to try to get that fight back. But, I mean, he's a guy, too, who in this fight could conceivably look at a heavyweight title shot in the very near future if he's able to beat Overeem. That's a big notch on his belt
sure
if he's able to beat the K-1 champ, the Strikeforce champ, the guy that sent Brock Lesnar packing out of the UFC. I know Sean doesn't think that's a big deal, but remember who Brock had beaten and what he had done in the UFC. Alistair crumpled him in the cage. Now, he's going to have to be careful. This is going to be another question I wanted to talk to Travis Brown about. How do you fight a guy who's got a lot to prove in this instance with Alistair Overeem? Because he was a guy who was supposed to come in and essentially get that title shot.
Immediately.
Yeah, that was his original plan. He came in and he got an ex-champ, and he was able to beat the ex-champ. He got Antonio Silva. This was going to be, okay, you beat Antonio Silva, we're going to put you in that title fight. And he looked terrible. Well, terrible. Probably the worst we've seen Alistair look in years. He didn't look that bad in the Pride fight with Chuck.
Yeah, no.
He looked terrible in the UFC against Antonio Silva. He was gassed. He had his hands down. Nobody's quite sure what he was doing. And he got knocked out big time by Bigfoot. So when you're coming off that kind of loss, I think that's a dangerous guy. I want to ask Travis Brown about that later in the show.
And we will do that, as well as talk to Uriah Hall about his fight with John Howard. Plus, we'll break down the rest of the card on Fox Sports 1 and some other cool news breaking in the world of mixed martial arts. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Fox Sports 1 launches tomorrow night with the UFC live from Boston. Shogun Sonnen going to kick that one off as the main event, co-main event, Overeem and Brown. We talked about that. Uriah Faber going to be fighting bantamweight phenom Yuri Alcantara, and this is going to be a great fight. Even if you're not familiar with Yuri at all, Faber will tell you, and if you've read anything this week, he's alluded to this. This is a big fight, and afterwards, he'd like to move towards super fights. Matt Brown and Mike Pyle, this is going to be a slugfest, and if you're looking for that one where it's going to be two guys that stand in the middle of the ring and punch till somebody falls down, this is the fight you want to pay attention to. Uriah Hall and John Howard, and then Joe Lozon and Michael Johnson kicking it all off. Joe Lozon, in my opinion, Ken, shouldn't have much trouble getting past Michael Johnson.
Yeah, that will kick off the main card. But what's interesting about this Fox Sports 1 card as well is the preliminary bouts that aren't on Facebook. You don't have to go anywhere else. They're all going to be on Fox Sports 1.
Yes, you will have 5 hours of fighting, including, like Ken talked about last week, the pre-show and all of the after-show.
Yeah, you'll have UFC pre-fight show, UFC post-fight show. Really the gem of the Fuel coverage, if you haven't seen the Fuel coverage in the past, I really think has been these pre- and post-fight shows, especially on pay-per-view nights. They always run these on pay-per-view nights as well, the post shows. So that's a very cool way to get a look at these fights. I mean, Dominic Cruz is on there. Brian Stann's on there. Chael Sonnen very often on there. Jay Glazer usually hosts them. An amazing studio show setup and the treatment the UFC deserves. It hasn't been seen by a ton of people because it's been hiding out there on Fuel.
Yep.
Done great ratings for Fuel. I think the audience that we're going to see with Fox Sports 1 is much, much bigger.
And the one gem to keep an eye on, Dana White has been talking about him. Pretty much all of the internet has been talking about him since he signed with the UFC. Irish transplant Conor McGregor made a huge splash when he debuted in the UFC. This will be his second fight. Everybody looking forward to it. It is on the prelims, so you can catch it on Fox Sports 1. And I would probably not miss it. Dana also had a very interesting week in that he attempted to offer up Vitor Belfort and Machida as the next fight. But turns out apparently Vitor works for himself and books himself, so that was of no interest.
What next fight for? Well, just another main event
just
setup,
at 205 to kind of figure out how that whole thing fleshes out. You know, as we talked about last week, give Machida a chance to skirt around what happened and maybe.
That's a very interesting dynamic. Who would have thought 3 weeks ago that if you would have had a Belfort Machida setup, that Belfort would have been the one with the most to lose.
Right. And seemingly knowing that, he has eluded the actual question. So Dana turned right around and saw opportunity and knew that Machida has been trying to drop to 185, knew that perhaps somebody from Stockton would like to fight at 185, and so he has offered up Nick Diaz to fight Lyoto Machida at 185 pounds.
You like the fight?
I like Nick Diaz fighting, and I think Nick Diaz's interesting striking style and Machida's
counter-striking
could make for a very interesting matchup that would be, in my mind, the antithesis of what you saw in the Phil Davis fight, which was Phil doing a lot of stuff, scoring points, winning controversial decision. This, you're going to see two guys using two very different styles to essentially knock the other one out.
I think it would be very interesting. You could either have a fight where maybe Machida's able to implement and pop and go, so to speak, with Nick Diaz. You could also see a pretty brutal beating for Machida, considering that unorthodox style. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of... Machida's not had to, in the past, ever really take a beating in his fights.
Right.
He's lost fights, but he's never really been pounded out for the entire fight.
Are you calling a BJ Penn sort of matchup? Like, we're throwing in the towel for Machida? Is this...
Yeah, maybe. I'm not going to skirt away from that. It could easily go one of two ways. And with Machida, we haven't gotten to see that. I mean, we've talked to fighters on the show in the past and fighters here in studio where they say sometimes the toughest thing to do is to fight a tough fighter. And that's kind of been Nick Diaz's specialty. He's been able to fight tough fighters and beat them up.
Yes.
And beat them up badly. Is that something that could happen with Machida a couple weeks ago? No, I wouldn't have said it. Too elusive.
Yep.
He's not going to get peppered that much, not going to get hit. But, man, how slow did he look in that fight?
He looked like he was not in sync with what... He looked like his mind and his body were not in sync with what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and with Phil Davis, you can get away with that. Phil Davis is going to take you down, going to grind out a decision. Hey, he'll beat you, Phil Davis will. Nick Diaz will hurt you, and he'll pop you, and he'll hit you hard, and he'll do it a lot if you're slow.
Yep, and he's one of those guys, and you've said this many times on the show, that... his style, while way more dynamic and offensive than Mayweather, similar in the wearing you down. Now, Mayweather doesn't knock a whole bunch of people out. Like, he doesn't KO a whole bunch of people. Neither does Nick Diaz. Nick Diaz just gets people to quit.
Yeah, he'll just hit you in the face, and he'll hit you at 50, 60% of what he could probably do if he really wanted to try to lay you out. Except he knows that if he hits you five times... at 50, 60, 70%, it's better than hitting you once, probably, than at 100%, unless you nail him on the button. So guys also, they've said this when they fight with him. They get in there, and they don't really think they're getting hit, and then all of a sudden, they're hurt.
Right.
They're hurt, and
yes.
They don't know why, and that's because he doesn't stop. He keeps hitting. He's relentless. He will hit you. You know, he doesn't do 1, 2, 3. He does 2, 4, 6, 8. Half the time, and he doesn't disengage, which a lot of fighters don't understand, because he's willing to take a punch.
Well, he's willing to trade to get one, and on top of that, Ken, and we'll talk to Uriah Hall next here, he uses a great phrase in his training. It's not getting ready, it's just be ready, so constantly be in that state of training. The Diaz brothers do triathlons for fun, so you're not going to get them in situations where you can drown them or overwhelm them with cardio.
And no, so, you have to – the guy who can beat Nick Diaz is the guy who did George St. Pierre.
Yes.
And I want to give Carlos Condit the same credit. Guys who – they had the same gas tank, essentially, at least a tank that was close enough, and then they are able to – out-technique him in some way, and that's wrestle him to the ground. That's take away his offense. He never stops in those fights. Those two guys were the only two that were able to do it so far, and some want to argue about whether or not Condit really did or didn't do that at that point. I think GSP did very clearly, but that's two guys in the world.
Right.
In the world.
Yes.
That have done it at this point since Nick Diaz has become what we know today.
And that Machida we saw a week ago is not necessarily.
No, I'd love to see that. And if you get Nick Diaz against that Machida for sure, I'll pay for that, because you're going to watch a beating happen in the cage.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Travis Brown about his fight with Overeem. We'll talk to Uriah Hall about his fight with John Howard. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Joining us on the line right now, he is one half of the co-main event for UFC on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday night. Travis Brown joins us. Travis, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We are doing well. Welcome back to the show. Appreciate you taking some time with us today in advance of UFC Fight Night on Fox Sports 1. How cool is that? You get to be on the debut show on a debut network this Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it's definitely special, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Now, obviously, Mauricio Shogun Rua taking on Chael Sonnen in that main event match. You and Alistair Overeem, though, you guys are the fight everybody's looking at. Could be one of the most explosive on the cards. How do you think the fight's going to go? What do you do against a guy who's a former Strikeforce heavyweight champion, a K-1 world champion? You know, as much as you can tell us, what's the game plan going into Saturday night, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said it, I mean, he's a K-1 kickboxing champion, so, you know, I wouldn't mind taking him to the ground, keeping it standing, wherever it goes, it goes. You know, I think people just, you know, they go in and they go in a little scared of him, and I think that's one of my advantages is I'm not scared of anybody. I'm really not, and I don't get intimidated, so, you know, I think that's definitely an advantage of mine.
Now, is this a situation, Travis, where you go in and you really don't care where the fight goes, because you mentioned it, standing, going on the ground, it doesn't matter to you. You're one of the few guys in the UFC, you've got that trifecta where you've had a knockout of the night, a submission of the night, and you've had a fight of the night too, correct?
No fight of the night.
Oh, no fight of the night yet?
Knockout of the night, yeah.
Maybe Saturday.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, I'm always down for a good war, even though I'd like to keep it short, sweet, and come out with the win. But yeah, I'm always game.
So it's a situation too where you're going against a guy. He's got a lot to prove as well. I mean, he was on the precipice of getting that title shot. He's coming off a loss to Antonio Silva, a gentleman you were lost to as well last year. He wants back in that title hunt. He was one of those guys who lost that opportunity essentially because of some drug testing issues. And we're not going to go into that a lot here. But after he comes off that loss, he's got a lot to prove. And you're the next guy in line. You're the guy where he gets to avenge his loss. How do you fight a guy in that situation? You've been that person before, too. Don't you have a little extra fire when you want to come back in and prove something after a loss?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it all depends on how you take the loss. And I think that kind of stuff defines you as a fighter. You know, I took it and came in and got an impressive win. You know, and he's probably looking to do the same thing. Unfortunately, I'll be standing there across the cage, and I'm nobody to look at statistics or worry about any kind of numbers or any kind of stuff like that, you know, or worried about somebody's passion about getting back in the cage after a loss. I don't care about that because I'm going out there to do my job, and I plan on doing it to my best ability.
So it's something that you really don't figure into your game plan, so to speak, is his motivation. You can only look at him as a fighter, and you're more about implementing your game plan than worrying about what he's going to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to be like that. You can't go out there and worry about what your opponent's going to do. You have to go out there and stick to your game plan and do what you have to do to come out with the victory.
Now, in your last fight, we saw you defeat Gabriel Gonzaga. That was an amazing set of elbows. I know there was some controversy there on the Ultimate Fighter 17 finale. You know, I've seen the fight a couple times. I didn't see anything there that looked like it landed poorly, but he contested the fight afterwards. How do you as a fighter feel when you go in there, you get a big win, you implement your game plan, like you said, and then afterwards somebody's saying, oh, that wasn't fair, this guy cheated?
You know, at the time I was just wanting to make sure that I wasn't going to get my bonus taken from me. but you know, after that all cleared there and stuff, you know, to come out and to get stopped in that kind of fashion and in the way that it happened, you know, if you ever feel like you were done wrong, then you have the right to contest the fight. And felt like he was knocked out in an unfair way, you know, played that card of you know, wanting to contest it and seeing if he could get it overturned. And you know, you can't knock the guy for doing that. I mean, he got knocked out pretty good and within a minute or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he doesn't want that on his record, and neither would I.
So that's a situation where you don't fault the fighter afterwards doing what he did. You don't take it personally?
You know, it's probably not even the fighter. Usually it's management that does something like that. You know, as a fighter, you can't really worry about that kind of stuff, and you got to move on and either try to get that fight back and prove that it was a fluke or, you know, just kind of move on with your career.
Speaking about getting a fight back, if you're able to beat Alistair Overeem on Saturday, is this a situation where you want to go and maybe get Antonio Silva in that cage again? I mean, I talk to a lot of fighters on the show. We've talked to a lot of them. It seems like a lot of fighters want to dismiss that fact, but as soon as they get an opportunity to go fight a guy they've lost to, especially for you, he's the only loss on your record. Do you want Antonio Silva back in the cage to avenge that loss, to get that loss back?
You know, right after the fight, I said yes to that all the time. And I'm at the point now where, you know, my goal, my ultimate goal is getting to that title and taking the shot and then taking the title from whoever has it. If Antonio Silva is in that same path, then definitely. I would love to knock out two birds with one stone and try to get that fight back and continue rising to the title. But if fighting Antonio Silva kind of takes me off the track of fighting for the title, then no. Then I don't have to fight Antonio Silva for that. And I think, you know, any fighter, you say, hey, do you want to fight the guy who just beat you? You're like, yeah, of course. But then when you have time away and you look at it and you kind of humble yourself, you're like, you know what, that was that happened. It's in the past, and my ultimate goal is the title, and this is the route that I need to take.
So that's very cool. I like how you admit to the fact that once you're right after the fight, I want to get back in the cage, but, you know, the light of day, if it's not your path to the title, then you don't want it. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, real quick question about UFC Fight Night on Fox Sports 1, Shogun Sonnen, Saturday night on Fox Sports 1. What fight are you looking forward to actually seeing? Do you watch the fights when you're waiting to fight? Do you watch them afterwards? Who on this card should we keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like watching, you know, like Matt Brown and Mike Pyle.
Ooh, that should be a good one.
Both of those guys are, I know both of them. I fought on cards, multiple cards with both of them. And, you know, those guys are really exciting fighters, fun fighters to watch. And that's definitely a fight I'm looking forward to.
So Matt Brown, Mike Pyle, keep an eye out for that one. The very cool thing is that is going to be on this big Saturday night, the launch of Fox Sports 1, America's new sports network. And we want to thank you, Travis Brown, for your time taking on Alistair Overeem as part of the card. We are looking forward to that one. I expect some big bombs there. Have a lot of fun in there, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, sir. Have a good one.
And let's go from one guy on the card tomorrow night to another. Uriah Hall is back on the show. Uriah, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
We are well, man. How is fight week treating you? Your second time through the media car wash, how is that all going for you?
It's not bad. I thought it'd be a vacation, but it's not.
That's funny. So this weekend going to be a huge weekend in Boston. You've had an amazing time since April. You've gone through this insane training camp, but even among all of that, you had three opponents in the last 3 months. What is that like in your second time out in the UFC, trying to make heads or tails of it, if it's Nick Ring or Salmon or now obviously Doomsday?
At this point, it's whatever. I mean, I just kind of learned to stay ready and not focus too much on the guys that I'm fighting, because it just taught me, you know, something like this could happen in the future again. So it's just constantly, you know, staying on top of my game just in case.
And for people who don't follow you on Twitter, that's kind of your thing, which is why I like you so much as a fighter. You keep repeating this phrase, which I wish every fighter would do, which is not don't get ready, stay ready. And by staying ready, you could be on the receiving end of one of those phone calls that, let's say, I don't know, there's a title contender that can't make it to the octagon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I love the sport, and it's just even a blessing to be a part of something like this. You know, I still look back and say, wow, I can't believe I'm actually doing this. And I've had it happen to me in many occasions where I get there and the guy pulls out on the fight day. So it's like, what the hell? I just learned a lot from it. So I took it as a good thing, you know. I didn't think it was a great thing, but I just learned from it and take the positive side out of it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, there's no sense worrying about it because you've got to take the fight, and why wouldn't you take the fight? Saturday night, Fox Sports 1, a huge launch. What an honor it is to be on that card. Let's talk about your camp, though. It looks like you trained with Lyoto for a minute or two. Is that true?
Yeah, that was awesome, man. I was in awe sparring with that guy. You know, I had to kind of smack myself out of it while training with him. He's such a great guy, too. And, you know, I've learned a lot with him and, you know, mixing it up. And it's kind of funny because I asked my buddy to record it. And, you know, he was just so, like, in the moment of honest, he forgot to record it.
So walk me through kind of how that was, because you obviously have a really unorthodox style all through Tough. They called you the video game character. Lyoto's often been called the video game character. You called him a video game character. What was that kind of mashup like for you two?
Honestly, it was a Tekken video game. That's what it felt. That's exactly how it felt. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it.
Very.
That's why my friend couldn't record. He was like, man, I thought it was a video game. I was so intrigued. I'm like, all right.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I wish it would have been caught. We would have loved to see that. How is training with Chael? I know that he had a huge impact on you in the show, and now training with him has to be an honor.
Yeah, you know, he came out there. I think he's going to make Orange County's home, and it was just good to have that positive environment again. And, you know, him just constantly being there as a, you know, supporter. And just, you know, I look at him as like a mentor, so he's always there to give positive feedback, even though I'm having bad days or whatever. It's just a blessing to have him in my corner again.
You sound like you're in a really great space.
I am, man. I am. I feel good, you know. I'm happy to even be doing this, and I just feel blessed. So everything is just working out.
You had a birthday, and then, of course, we're into this probably what I would assume is your favorite, outside of fighting, your favorite time of year, which we have two new console systems going to drop here in November. Are you leaning one way or the other?
Yeah, well, I'm excited for both, but, you know, I'm a PlayStation fan, and I've always been. It's where, you know, I started everything. But you know what? It's good to mix it up a little bit. I'm not going to lie, I bought an Xbox just for the game, Halo.
Nice.
Xbox just for Halo.
So I kind of thought you were going to lean PlayStation, so I was wondering, are we going to see PlayStation 4 on your shorts on Saturday?
No, not really, you know.
You're not going to do a Demetrius Johnson?
I mean, that'd be cool.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
But I haven't spoken to those guys yet about sponsorship or anything like that.
We should do something with that. We should get you on that.
We should. We should put me in that movie, The Black Panther.
We should do that, too. We should get all of that stuff done, but let's do it on Sunday morning after you get your hand raised. UFC Fox Sports 1, the big debut in Boston. Uriah Hall is joining us. Have an awesome time on Saturday night. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, and we look forward to seeing you having your hand raised against Doomsday on Saturday.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And when we come back, we will break down what's left of news, get you ready for tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior on the Fight Fans Radio Network, on the iHeartRadio Talk platform, and as always, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans, part of the Fight Fans Radio Network, part of the iHeartRadio Talk platform, available on Stitcher and on iTunes, and of course, Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. A couple really quick mentions, I should say, in the world of mixed martial arts that are not UFC related. First, and Ken was the one to break it on our Facebook page, Mayhem Miller arrested for domestic violence over the weekend.
Ugh.
And then wrote on his website the most ridiculous apology I think I've ever read in my
life. I did not see the apology. Well,
it's not much of an apology. It says, you
know, I do want to give credit to Ariel Helwani, who reported that somebody named Jason Miller was in jail and they wouldn't verify it, but he had the same birth date and middle name. And that shows you Ariel's journalism credentials, because he's like, I'm waiting for verification. Want to make sure that's the same dude.
Yep.
So he apologized on his Facebook page?
No, on his website.
He's got a website.
That says he's a traveler of Earth or whatever. I forget what it says. And it was pretty rambling, very weird. Reminds me, going back to Ariel Helwani, of that very odd interview he did where he was the character from the MMA movie that Kevin James did.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So he shows up in character.
I'm avoiding that.
Yeah, gets all crazy, and it looked very similar to that. And why are we talking about him? He doesn't fight anymore because I don't know what it is that caused him to go off the rails, because he was always kind of crazy to begin with. But these sort of things interest me as you start talking about fighters like Chuck Liddell, and fighters like Rich Franklin, fighters like Shogun, fighters like the Nog brothers. And what does this damage to the head do to you as a person? And I'm not saying one thing or the other. I'm not saying it led to domestic violence. I'm not saying it led to him writing this blog post. I'm saying these sort of people I want to keep an eye on as we're trying to figure out what this sport does to the human body when you stop doing it.
And we've seen a lot of studies, and many of them have mistakenly looked usually at fighters as a whole. And by that, they look at boxers and they look at MMA fighters, and then they do their study. We haven't seen anybody who's effectively and scientifically differentiated these two groups. So very often, we're going to see very high instances of CTE. We're going to see very high instances of boxers who become quote-unquote punchy as they get older in life.
Drunk or whatever.
Right, whatever term you want to use. I don't feel the same thing is probably happening to MMA fighters, but again, this is a great reason to take a look and say, why don't we look at some of these guys that have been doing MMA? Let's remember a lot of guys who did MMA probably started out at some form or another, did some boxing.
Yep.
Whenever they wanted to do their striking, they had to do boxing.
Undoubtedly.
So maybe they can't be pulled apart and only as a whole. But I certainly think as MMA grows and as we have Bellator and as we have World Series of Fighting, as we have all these other organizations in addition to the UFC, I think we can start to look at a larger sample base and say, hey, where are these guys now? It's 2013. So a lot of guys been doing this 10, 15 years.
We're about to celebrate a 20th anniversary of the UFC.
Right. And you've got a lot of guys who've been doing it the way they're doing it now, and then the foreseeable way a lot of people will do it for a long time. You've got a lot of guys. If you take that 10-year range, you've got a pretty good sample set. The guys got to jump in, though. They got to be willing to do it. I don't know if there's been any resistance. There always seems to be. The NFL took a long time before guys wanted to get on board with guys even being tested. And the guys even being willing to do it. Now you see most NFL players, when they die, many of them, I should say, they're willing to donate their brains to science. They want to know what's happening for players in the future. And so their families know. And so other people know. I'm not saying we're there yet with MMA, but, I mean, you make a good point. I looked up this apology.
Right. I mean, at the end, it's just keystrokes.
It's
there's not even
words. It's half caps, half lower letters. I don't know what's – and it makes no sense.
And I get he's snarky, and there's some of that in there for sure, but he's a guy that's off enough.
There's being snarky, but then there's being snarky after you allegedly
– Yes.
– beat your wife.
Yep, and there's certainly that. So, you know, if you want to see it, you can go to Mayhem's website and read it for yourself. Speaking of women's MMA, as we were alluding to earlier in the show, Bellator has shut down the women's division, essentially paving the way for Invicta.
You buried the lead. Bellator had a women's division.
Sorry, I did bury the lead. But they have buried the division in totality, paving the way for Invicta and essentially making a minor league to get these women into the UFC, which I think is great news for both of those organizations because they have a partnership and now you have a one-way ticket to where you would want to be to begin with.
Who's got the partnership?
UFC and Invicta.
Invicta. Okay, cool. You said paving the way for Invicta. Yeah. I thought maybe Viacom had made some deal.
No. But UFC and Invicta have had this, you know, when you heard talks about the Cyborg thing, they were like, yeah, you can fight in Invicta and come up here and do, and obviously that didn't pan out, but they have the ability to talk. Sheila Gaff was cut from the UFC. Probably go back to Invicta, get a couple wins, and come back up.
It is very interesting, too. It's probably the only time we're going to see the UFC be willing to work with somebody because they know they're never going to have to worry about Invicta putting a product up against them it's all women fighting.
And when you're trying to build a division, you want a place that you know and trust and puts on a quality product and picks great fighters and that they want to go to Invicta so they can build a name so they can go do this.
Right.
So there's that. And then one last thing, only because Ken loves to make fun of it. World Series of Fighting over the weekend.
I watched my first one. It was terrible.
Not only was it terrible, but this is when you know that these sorts of organizations might not have much of a shelf life. As one of the fighters on the roster showed up to the day of weigh-ins, 32 pounds overweight.
Oh, you forgot to mention that the owner of the company also stepped in the cage and lost terribly in Ray Sefo. It went from terrible to sad to really sadly terrible or terribly sad.
So much like we no longer need to worry about the Bellator women's division, I'm not really sure that anybody over at Zuffa is thinking the World Series of Fighting is going to be doing anything anytime
soon. Will somebody else just hire Boss Rutten so he doesn't have to lie through his teeth to sell these fights? He could sell a Bellator fight and not be lying through his teeth. He could sell an Invicta fight. He could be great on the UFC. But he has to lie just lie through his teeth and tell untruths the entire time to pretend to care about these fights that are happening in the World Series of Fighting.
The opinions expressed by Ken Evans, not necessarily the opinions of Way of the Warrior.
You don't think Boss is lying if he says he likes those fights?
I don't.
I love Boss, but he's lying.
Okay. We will catch you Saturday night for results. Fox Sports 1, it's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.